guys. Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have the family in here. I need everybody to retweet this broadcast, share this on your social media. I also need you to hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button, ladies and gentlemen, because we're going to make it do what it do. We're going to take that real quick commercial break. But you guys don't move a muscle, ladies and gentlemen, because we will be right back right here on Tariq Radio. Don't move a muscle.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
If you're trying to start, grow, or scale your business and you don't have time for get-rich-quick schemes or gurus that promise you the world and don't deliver, well, you need to go ahead and check out my guy, The Business Bully, and let him teach you how to make money with your business. You've seen Dave Anderson on The Breakfast Club, on CNN, on Forbes, and on tour with me, and his clients have done over $100 million in revenue, and you can be next, ladies and gentlemen. Check out Dave's program at bully101.com to get more information. You go to that website. Use the coupon code Tariq to get an additional discount. Bully101.com. Sign up right now. Tune in to the Amiri Brown Show on YouTube, where they discuss all topics intrinsic to the Black experience, from dating and marriage to race, economics, social issues, and politics. Subscribe to the Amiri Brown Show channel and tune in throughout the week. Make Black America great again or die trying.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave a op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
You are now tuned into the legendary OG. Tariq Nasheed.
I want to apologize to all my friends.
On Tariq Radio.
Where is Tariq getting all this cash?
Oh, I'm here. I'm here, ladies and gentlemen. What's going on, family? Glad to have y'all tuning in to Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host, Tariq Nasheed. You know how I do it. Glad to have everybody in here. The voice is still a little shaky, a little bit, but I'm good. I'm good. I'm here with you guys. We're going to make it do what it damn do, but I need you guys to really hit that like button. I really need you guys to hit that subscribe button. If you have not subscribed, you better hit that subscribe button, ladies and gentlemen. And then I'm going to need you to share this on your Twitter. Everybody retweet the link to this broadcast right now, ladies and gentlemen. Because we got a lot of stuff we're going to talk about. We won't be on here too long, but we're going to make it do what it do. So on social media today, a lot of folks were having a lot of different conversations. There were different Twitter space rooms. The conversation coming up about Pan-Africanism. Is Pan-Africanism dead? A lot of people now are just not on the Pan-Africanism wave. A lot of people now are like, hey, man, you know, we're looking out for foundational Black Americans. We ain't really trying to do the whole we're going to go to Africa. But nobody's really buying into the Wakanda myth that's been sold to us for a long time. Nobody's buying into that now. And now that we're foundational Black Americans are kind of questioning a lot of stuff. There's people now who's questioning Garvey's real allegiance. There were some people, they had a room earlier, they were talking about, well, Garvey was meeting with the Klan. Garvey had private letters where he was really disparaging Black people, calling Black people lazy. So a lot of people are really going back to revisit and study this Pan-African thing and to see if it ever popped off or if it could be viable. The fact is, a lot of times when people came to us, Foundation of Black Americans, many times talking about linking up with Africa and things like that, a lot of times it had a scammy little vibe to it. Even with the American Colonization Society, when they were sending people to Liberia, that was kind of scammy, you know. They were sending free blacks over there, and a lot of blacks were going over there dying, and many blacks didn't want to go over there because they understood we're not from that part of the world. I mean, we've been here for centuries. A lot of black people at the time knew that we were foundational. We'd been here for a long time. Even Frederick Douglass spoke out against repatriating or patriating, because a lot of us can't even prove where in Africa we came from. It's very speculative. And again, there were a lot of black people who were already here. So it's very hard to really assess who came from where. You understand? Now, let's be very clear. I have a lot of love and respect for brothers and sisters in the diaspora. I still rock with them. People think because we are acknowledging our Foundation of Black American lineage, they think that we are disparaging some of our riders in the diaspora. No, we're not. I still ride with brothers and sisters in Africa, especially in the UK. I rock with brothers and sisters in the Caribbean who are still on code. I rock with whoever's on code. If you're on code for empowerment and against white supremacy, I rock with any black person. I don't care where you are. If you're from Australia, I rock with you. If you are against systematic white supremacy. And we have to be very clear. A lot of foundational black Americans have a bad taste in their mouth about Pan-Africanism now because of the representatives that's coming over here now from the Caribbean and from Africa. What they're doing now, they're sending over a lot of coons, and the coons are putting a bad taste in everyone's mouth. These are the same Sambos who are undermining people over there. The same people who are undermining people over in the diaspora, they come over here with that same mentality. They come over here with their same insecurities, their colorisms. That's why when we see people on TikTok and Instagram talking about dark skin, light skin, man, 9 times out of 10, it's a non-FBA person talking that. They're bringing that filth over here, trying to infuse us with it. We're not on that because we understand where we are under the system of white supremacy. We're all treated the same no matter what your skin tone is. Excuse me. But we're starting to see, unfortunately, a lot of people who come around us off code trying to undermine us. Many of them happen to be non-FBA folks. So a lot of people are kind of looking at the Pan-Africanism thing a little different now. Many people believe that the whole concept is dead. I don't know. But we are looking at our foundational black American lineage. And let me tell you something. Us looking at our foundational black American lineage, that is more threatening than Pan-Africanism. Do you understand me? Because we are understanding who we are. We're understanding who we are as a lineage. We're not buying into the Wakanda thing like we used to, because white people have no problem sitting up selling Wakanda to us. They have no problem doing that. They have no problem saying, hey, man, you guys came from this great civilization thousands of years ago. They have no problem telling us that, because they understand it's not popping over there in the diaspora right now. They understand that. The white supremacists understand that many of the black people over there in the diaspora, they are doing any and everything to get over here. They know that. So the white society has no problem selling us the Wakanda package. If we just somehow make it back over to Africa, everything is going to be all right. Ain't going to be no racism. You know, that's what they got those artists over here talking about. Remember, what's his name? Rotimi from Nigeria. Man, over there, man, everything is just better. The air is just crisp when you get over there. Well, nigga, why are you in New York? You understand that y'all not selling the package good enough, because y'all selling it while you're sitting over here. You see? Y'all selling us the Akon City package. You remember Akon was selling that whole Akon City. It's going to be spaceships and sky trains and robots. And, you know, we've had enough. We've had enough of the Akon City Wakanda package that they're trying to sell us. Because we see what's going on over there. It's very tribalistic. And then when they get over here, they bring that same tribalism over here to us. You understand? That's the reality. We're not hating on anybody. We're just speaking the reality. We're just speaking the reality. Now, let me tell you something. When we start looking at our FBA heritage, see, that gets us on code. And us being on code, that is a threat, ladies and gentlemen. Now, if you follow me on social media, you will know today I had yet another visit from the FBI. The FBI came to my home today, this afternoon. What time did they come? They came around noon. They came pretty early. Kind of took me by surprise. So the FBI came to my house today. And I'm thinking it was a delivery. I'm like, who's coming to my house this early? Usually, you know, we get different people running in and out of the house all day. We have tutors and stuff coming, but the kids are in school and the tutors come later. And we get Amazon packages all day, but usually they come later. So somebody's ringing my doorbell hella early. I'm like, okay, they must be delivering a package. And I didn't bring my phone to the door with me. And it was the FBI. And I always say, when the FBI visits, I need to start recording them. They've visited me a few times. Yes, the FBI went to my house. They visited me a few times. I said, when they come, I got to record them. I got to record them when they come. But I went to the door and it was like, hey, well, this is the FBI. Mr. Nasheed, we want to ask you a few questions. You know, you're not in any trouble or anything. I said, okay, Lord, here we go. Well, I didn't know it was them. I'm thinking it was a delivery, and I got to start checking my damn security cameras. Now, the good thing is I have cameras all around my house anyway that record automatically. They record, I think they record like 30 seconds or something automatically. If somebody walks up to the door, the cameras will record about 30 seconds of footage. So this is the footage that was recorded automatically. You can't hear nothing, but you can see him. This is in front of my house. Hold on. Let me show this real quick. This is them in front of my house looking very alt-rightish, by the way. I'm like, who the hell is this? All right, so that's them in front of my house. This was before I went outside, so they had one in the back. If you see ever look in your Ring camera and see somebody standing around like that, that's the feds, ladies and gentlemen. If you got one person at the door and another person backing them up, that is the feds. All right. So they came to the crib and they asked me some very interesting questions. Now, the last time they came, I think the last time they came in 2016. I think they came another time too. They usually come around an election year, which is interesting. I remember them coming in 2016 in September. They came September 11th. That's the birth of my son, Mateo. I remember that day because I went back home from the hospital and then they came by the house. So they usually come around an election year. Excuse me. And as you know, we've been talking about having this event up there in DC, and we've been getting the runaround, and now we see why. Obviously, the feds, they've told them to stall us and not give us a permit to do this event. They've been stalling like crazy in Washington, D.C. So now we see what's going on. So they come to the house. Also, this is right after people online who many of us suspected to be ops or federal agents trying to lure me and bait me into showing up to those Power 106 protests that I didn't even organize. Remember last week, there was a series of Power 106 protests that was organized by our sister Connie Collins. I didn't organize any of them. But notice that there were so many people, these trolls, trying to lure me and bait me into showing up there. It was this desperate attempt to try to get me to show up to those protests, which was very suspicious. Half the time I was I wasn't even in the continental United States, but I saw it for what it was. I'm like, wait a minute, why are random people desperately trying to lure me into a specific location at a specific time? I understand the 48 laws of power. You don't ever show up where somebody else wants you to show up. That's warfare 101. You bring the people to you. You determine where everything is going to go down. When people try to lure you into a certain situation at a specific time, at a specific location, boy, that's a setup all day. You see, notice all the people who were trying to lure me and bait me into showing up at a specific time at that radio station for something that I didn't even organize, trying to use little weak, goofy shaming tactics. Well, Derek, are you scared to come through? Derek sound like he's scared. Well, that type of talk is Agent Talk 101. You ain't fooling nobody. Oh, yeah, I saw that for what it was. And also, you had people out there who were fishing for lawsuits. I'm going to get on that a little bit later. You had some operatives and tethers out there really hoping that I would show up so they can fish for a lawsuit. Hopefully, they were hoping that somebody connected with the protest would touch them or lay hands on them so that they can turn around and try to sue me. That was another tactic they were trying to do. We saw that a mile away. But anyway, so now after that protest last week and all of a sudden, we're talking about trying to get a protest going up there in Washington, D.C. They're giving me the runaround. And then the FBI shows up to the crib. And here, this is the thing. They were talking about, well, we wanted to ask you some questions about Frank James, Tariq. Frank James, y'all remember, that was the guy in New York who allegedly shot up the subway in New York. Remember? How many months ago was that? They asked me, well, Mr. Nasheed, you know, Frank James, you know, are you familiar with him? He shot up, he did a mass shooting at a subway in New York. I said, yeah, I'm familiar with the story. And they were like, well, we saw online that he followed your social media about 10 years ago. He followed you on social media and he retweeted you 10 years ago. I said, okay, and there's a lot of people who follow me and retweet me. That's correct. We know you have a big following. And the agent said, did Mr. James ever try to reach out to you or anything? No, he didn't try to reach out to me. Now, let's go back to 2016. Again, that's all cap. They basically wanted me to know that they got eyes on me. They did this. Remember in 2016, they came to my crib and they started asking me about Micah Johnson. Hey, you know, are you familiar with Micah Johnson? Yeah, I'm familiar with him. Did you know him? Did he ever reach out to you? No, he never did. Are you a part of any nefarious organization? No, I'm not. Micah Johnson, has he ever emailed you? I said, good. If he emailed me, you guys would know it. You guys been monitoring my emails and phone calls for decades. They've been on my bumper for years. So they asked me, again, fast forwarding to today, they were asking me if I knew him. And let me tell you, this is the kicker right here. I said, yeah, he didn't reach out to me. I don't know anything about him. The white cop or the white agent said, did he reach out to any other FBAs? They asked me, did Frank James reach out to any other FBAs? He used the term FBA. No, he didn't reach out to any other FBAs that I know of. So they asked me, did this guy reach out to any other FBAs? And then I reminded him, I said, by the way, you know it's a lineage, right? Yeah. We understand that. You understand? So they're just letting me know that they're watching then. They know. Yes, indeed. Yes, they did. If I'm lying, I'm flying. Yes, they did. They asked me, did he reach out to any other FBAs? No. And I had to remind them, Don, you're not going to play that game. No, you're not going to try to make FBA a group. You know it's not a group. Stop it. And let's be clear, all of this stuff with people online trying to make FBA a group, those are the feds doing that. Those are the feds doing that, by the way. Those are the feds doing that. That's the FBI putting that information out there. You dig? So just understand that. Because, see, we're getting on code as far as our lineage. You know, we're getting on code as far as our lineage. And we're talking about getting tangibles, and we're talking about getting it here. We're not talking about going to Wakanda. We're not talking about Pan-Africanism. We're talking about getting what we're supposed to get right here, right now. And that is a threat, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of us are getting on code out here. And law enforcement, they're getting desperate. They're getting very desperate right now. Look at some of the stuff that they're doing around the country. There was a white officer in Kansas City who got convicted. He shot a black man, shot an innocent black man a couple of years ago. Everybody got on code and got his ass convicted. I think he got 6 years. You know they're going to give him a slap on the wrist. They're going to give him the minimum. But now, in retaliation, what they're doing in Kansas City, in this certain part of Kansas City, the police are basically retaliating by not responding to certain 911 calls. Kansas City police won't respond to calls as retaliation against the verdict, lawsuit says. So people are suing the police department. Daniel Fox, and this is the guy here, this is the good guy right here, this good white guy right here. He alleges that the police refused to investigate a break-in next door to his house and later intimidated him into deleting a Twitter post that was critical of the police's alleged inaction. So they're trying to get revenge on the citizens. They're mad that one of their guys got convicted for killing a black man, so now they're going to try to take revenge on the citizens. This is the kind of dirty little janky stuff that we have going on with law enforcement right now. This is desperation. They're very desperate right now. And there's another case in Mississippi, I think. Remember, there was a cop who was caught using the N-word and all this stuff. And in this black, it's a majority black town. The black citizens are, they have to sue the police now because of basically a martial law policy where they're just being targeted based on race. So it's a small town. It's the Lexington Police Department. This was the guy bragging about killing 13 people. So now the black folks have to file a lawsuit to protect themselves from the damn police department out here. This is how crazy it's getting out here. So this is why they don't want us on code. Because, see, we're getting on code and we're saying, hey, enough is enough. We got to shut some of this white supremacist terrorism down, as we should. We have a constitutional right to do that. You understand? We have a constitutional right to do that, to shut this stuff down. But see, when we get on code, that gets scary to the dominant society. Yeah, they're trying to bring the sundown towns back because those white numbers are dwindling. So they have to create an apartheid state, and we're just not going for it. So that now they're trying to do these intimidation tactics. You know, show the FBI showing up to people's homes like me. That's an intimidation tactic. Them asking me about a random dude from a killing that he did a couple of months ago. Come on, that's all cap. That's them. See, back in the day, they would be the FBI would be very covert. They didn't want you to know that they were following them. And right now, they have a different strategy. They want you to know that they got eyes on you. The FBI wants you to know that they got eyes on you. Okay? And a lot of us are not going for the Pan-Africanism thing. We're not doing the black and brown. That's another thing, too. We're rejecting a lot of this stuff. We're rejecting a lot of kumbaya stuff. The black and brown stuff, we're rejecting. That. Why do you think there's such a desperate attempt to tether Latinos into our culture? Why do you think that there's such a desperate attempt? They're talking about having a section for Latinos at the African American History Museum. You understand? Why that desperate play? Why do you think so many Latinos are desperately trying to crowbar and revise history by claiming that they created some damn hip hop? See, that's not something that's trivial, family. That's not something that we're supposed to take lightly, okay? And we see this all over the place. There's this one Hispanic dude on Twitter everybody's been going in on. He's been sitting up here trying to rewrite history. Puerto Ricans, Antillianos, whoever that is, in general, had a major hand in the creation of the world's two biggest music genres, hip-hop and reggaeton, if you don't stop. The world's biggest music artist is San Benito, Boricua born and raised. Okay, who's reggaeton? Come on, stop it. But this whole thing where they're trying to crowbar themselves into hip hop, that's not trivial. Because when people can come in and revise your lineage and culture, they can ultimately erase you. So you have some of the white Hispanics coming in trying to act as colonizers. They're trying to colonize our culture, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we don't go for that. We are not going for that. And a lot of people were talking about this clip of Fat Joe on Angie Martinez's show. Where is that thing? Right here. Fat Joe, again, he's been really going around telling this lie that Latinos and blacks created hip hop. It was 50-50. In what universe was it 50-50? This is Fat Joe. Listen to this. Hold on.
But it still does not negate the history of the culture and the history of how it started.
If you go to Wild Style, the first hip hop movie, you'll see the Coke Crush Brothers. Their DJ was Charlie Chase, Puerto Rican. And you go to the battle that they have with Romantic, which was the first Puerto Rican MC. Rudy D was in there with the Fantastic Romantic. You cannot eliminate the Latinos' contribution to hip hop. When you talk about breakdancing, we talk about rock steady and crazy legs. When you talk about graffiti, like, it's every element of hip hop. It was 50-50, bro.
Latinos weren't involved in hip hop directly that much in the early days of hip hop.
They were
one or two.
All right, and that was our good brother Grandmaster Caz setting the record straight. Excuse me. Setting the record straight about the real deal. That's just not true. There was no 50-50. And when they start telling that, well, blacks and Latinos created hip hop, name the Latino. Don't start talking about Crazy Legs and the Rocksteady crew who came into prominence in the damn 80s, a decade after they were already doing hip hop. Name the Puerto Ricans who created something. Charlie Chase was Grandmaster Cass's DJ. He didn't create anything. And also, Charlie Chase has repeatedly said that Puerto Ricans look down upon him for hanging out with black people. My bad. Hold on. Oh, my bad, guys. I'm sorry. The sound was off. Okay, so that was our good brother, Grandmaster Cass. Sorry, guys. Sorry about the audio. So that's them telling that lie, that 50-50 lie. That is not true. As we know, they start talking about the Rocksteady crew and Crazy Legs. They love going to the Crazy Legs lie. Crazy Legs and the Rocksteady, they came in the 80s. They came damn near a decade after hip-hop was created. They were not prominent until the 80s. They came later. Even Crazy Legs said when he started breakdancing, the black B-boys were looking at him like, hey, man, those moves you're doing are played out. You understand? They were telling Crazy Legs those moves you're doing are outdated and played out, dude. So don't let them run this game. Even Charlie Chase, he said that when he got into DJing, when he was DJing for Grandmaster Caz, the other Puerto Ricans looked down upon him. He said the other Puerto Ricans were like, why are you hanging out with the Morenos? Why are you hanging out with them niggas listening to that Jungle Bunny music? The Puerto Ricans were not only unavailable for the creation of hip hop, they were racially hating on it. We're not giving them any credit. We're not giving them any credit for something that they were hating on. If it was up to the Puerto Ricans, there would be no hip hop because they were hating on it, ladies and gentlemen. These are the facts. This is reality. We're not going to play this game. And when they start talking about how they created hip hop and they were there 50-50, okay, hip hop was started formerly in the early 70s. We can point to the black B-boys, the black MCs, the black DJs who were around in the early 70s. We can point to the black MCs, Coke LaRock, Melly Mills, Kaz, Hollywood, all of these people. We can point to all the DJs even before, hell, before Cool DJ Herc. You had Disco King Mario, who was getting busy in the early 70s, and other people, Grandmaster Flowers, all these other people. So you can point to the black, who were the Puerto Rican DJs in the early 70s? Who were they? Who were they? Who were the Puerto Rican MCs? Who were the Puerto Rican B-boys in the early 70s? You see? And then when you talk to the people who were there, see, we can name off the FBA B-boys. The twins, the legendary twins, A1 B-Boy Sosa, Trixie. And there's an interview of Trixie, who was one of the original B-Boys from the early 70s. Again, he came out. He said, hey, wasn't no Puerto Ricans around. All the people who were there, they keep it 100. Wasn't no Puerto Ricans around. Listen to this guy. All right. Listen to this guy. Tell the truth. Wasn't no Puerto Ricans around. Listen to this. Hold on 1 second. Let me play this. Hold on.
Put it to you straight up. There wasn't no Puerto Ricans.
Wasn't no Puerto Ricans.
Coming
wow.
to the Hawks.
Okay. So wasn't no Puerto Rican breakdancers.
There wasn't no Puerto Rican.
But you said you started it.
I started. And I'm not Puerto Rican.
You're not Puerto Rican.
I'm not Puerto Rican.
Wow.
I am black and proud.
Okay.
And my mom is from North Carolina. And my dad is from South Carolina.
Okay. Salute.
We're black.
Salute.
We Indian. We got the African, the genes, and
right.
all that. Anyway, most of the dancers, anyway, come from my city.
Okay.
And tap dancers, black, you know, ballet, black. Everything that they blind us with actually comes from us.
Right.
We actually have did a lot of things that our people really never got the recognition for.
Right.
So there you go.
Right. They stole a lot of stuff.
There you go, man. So right from the horse's mouth, man. Right from the horse's mouth. When you get around some of those old school B-boys, the ones who were there, the ones who were there, they all say the same thing. It wasn't no Puerto Ricans around. So let's be real. So this is why it's okay for us to gatekeep our culture and not try to be on this thing where we're supposed to share it with everybody, because we are not allowed to share in any other person's culture. Yes, we're definitely going to do a hip hop documentary. That is absolutely happening, ladies and gentlemen. That is absolutely happening. That is absolutely happening. We are doing a hip hop documentary. That's going to be right after this Maroon film that we're doing. We are definitely doing that. Everybody refresh your page if there's some problems with your page. But like I said, man, a lot of us are really looking at our lineage and our culture. We're not doing the Pan-African thing. And then a lot of these Pan-African tethers, you know, they're screaming foul right now because, see, they've been using Pan-Africanism as a hustle. A lot of them have been trying to hustle us, and they've been over there trying to hustle the diaspora, too. You got some people over there using the diaspora, trying to hustle over there. They go over there trying to trick off by using Pan-Africanism. You understand? So, you know, we got to set the record straight on a lot of stuff. But a lot of these folks who got a vested interest in pushing Pan-Africanism on us, a lot of them are crying foul right now because we are looking at our lineage and we're getting codified based on our lineage. So that's why whenever we get on code, and you see a lot of these people, many of them are ops, some of them are agents, some of them are just jealous tethers. Now, y'all remember, if y'all seen footage, and I'm not going to give too much shine to this one fat fuck boy, but there's this one bitch nigga who's been doing some homoerotic videos about me for damn near a year. This big fat bitch nigga has a page, this Pan-Africanism Strikes Back, a big fat titified nigga, little crunchy hairline, jolly fuck boy. Very jealous of me doing these videos. This dude does like hundreds of videos whining about how much money I have. Just a big fat jealous tether.
Tariq, why has Tariq got all this money? Hey Tariq, why Tariq makes all this money? How does Tariq get all this money?
Just a big fat moist nigga. And y'all know I never really address him because he's already acting like my bitch, and you don't have to address a bitch. But I just had to address him now because he came to that Power 106, one of those protests. His big fat jolly ass went up there to argue with a woman, and the brothers up there punked his fat ass out. Yeah, I'm not going to mention him that much, but I'm just going to speak now because he wants the attention. His big fat jolly jiggly thigh ass wants the attention, a big pocket watching bitch. He's broke as hell. This nigga drives a 2005 Hyundai station wagon looking like a big fat Avon lady driving around. He's a big fat broke bitch nigga struggling out there in Long Beach. Yeah, he's a big fat jealous nigga.
Well, Tariq makes all this money. He got all this money for the museum. Why does Tariq get all this money and I don't have no money? He has all this money.
That's this fat bitch's voice. He's a big fat goofball. So he went up to that protest, and let me tell you something. What he was trying to do, his big fat ass was up there trying to fish for a lawsuit. He put up a video saying,
Tariq gave $500 to security at for the Power 106 protest. Tariq gave some money for security.
So when it was revealed that I gave the sister some money for security, you know, because I wasn't a part of the protest, but I wanted the sister to be safe. It wasn't my protest. I didn't organize it, but I wanted the sister to be safe. So when he found out that I gave the sister money for security, he thought that was his opening, because what he wants to do is try to instigate somebody connected with me to touch his fat ass so he can run and go file a lawsuit, because he's broken dusty. He's a failed sumo wrestler, just a big fat nigga would get body slammed. He's a failed jiu-jitsu sumo wrestler. Got niggas body slamming his fat ass and putting their balls in his face. He's a big fat ass embarrassment. So he went up there to the protest, yelling at the sister, trying to argue with the sister. When the security guards, the brothers up there, the security brothers backed his fat ass down. He went up there trying to act tough.
I'll fight you. Anybody touch me, I'll fight you.
And this nigga went up there with some Hoochie Daddy shorts on with his big fat legs oiled up, looking like a stunt double for Lizzo. He's a fat fucking nobody. He's a big fat bitch ass nobody who ain't gonna bust a grape. He went up there trying to get them brothers to put hands on him so he could run to the police and then file a lawsuit against me. That was his whole little objective. That's why he wanted me up there.
Where's Tariq? How come Tariq is not here? Tariq, where's Tariq? Tariq is not here. Ain't this his protest? Where's Tariq?
He wanted me to be up there so that somebody could touch him and his fat ass can go get in court. Now, he's a big, fat, jolly, goofball nigga. He wasn't gonna bust a grape. Ain't gonna bust a grape. Big, jealous bitch. And I'm not really trying to give him too much shine. This is his big, fat ass right here trying to work out, trying to be tough with his wide-ass hips. He got wide-ass bitch hips. Look at him. Again, I'm not going to give his big fat ass too much shine. And this is another angle of his big, jolly, Countess Von built ass. But he's a big, fat, jealous bitch. And Brandon Tucker, I know you're listening, you big, fat ass loser. He sits up just making videos lying about me all day.
Tariq scams the money from Haiti.
Just making up stuff like a bitch. He's very jealous. He's about 5'6", fat as hell, janky hairline, thighs rubbing together like a big old bitch. I'm tall, beautiful, sexy, and respected. So this nigga is so damn jealous. Yes, this nigga, he makes donkey booty workout videos. This big fat bitch nigga, this big fat hoe ass nigga, you ain't slick, Brandon Tucker, with your fat ass. And by the way, I posted some pictures. Somebody sent me some pictures of his ass outside of his crib. Nigga, that wasn't me who took the pictures. Some people sent me the pictures of your fat ass. Nigga, you ain't, I don't get no brownie points for pulling up on your fat, goofy ass, because all you gonna try to do is sue. This nigga's been trying to instigate somebody to touch him, connected with me, so his fat ass can be in courtroom. If somebody touch his fat ass, he get up there trying to act tough. The minute somebody touch his fat ass, he's up in court just like this. His fat ass is going to be up in court with a blouse and a bayang like Rachel Jean Teal. This fat bitch nigga is going to be in court trying to sue me the minute somebody connected with me touches his big fat jolly ass. Again, I'm not going to dress this dude every day. This is a one-time thing. This nigga is built like a damn toaster with feet. You big bitch ass nigga. Hey, Tariq, but Tariq got all this money, Tariq. You be getting all this money. You got $8 million for a museum, Tariq. Where's the museum? Where'd you get all this money, Tariq? This hoe ass nigga, you big fat titty bitch. That nigga showed up to the protest like that. Where's Tariq? With his legs out. This nigga went with his big, fat, juicy legs out. Hey, where's Tariq? Tariq, anybody hit me? Anybody hit me? I'm going to go tell the police. Where's Tariq? I'll fight you in my heels. Where's Tariq? I'll fight everybody. Where's my... Anybody want to touch me? This nigga went his fat ass up there trying to get beat up so he can file a damn lawsuit. You big, jolly, hoe ass nigga. You jolly hoe ass nigga. You all fuck boy. You dig? You will never be me. You'll never get the respect that I get. You a lying, dusty, fat, broke bitch nigga. And nigga, what you need to do is get your money by making some donkey booty workout videos, nigga. Go get with Phaedra and get you some donkey booty workout videos with your fat ass. That's what you need to do, nigga. Get your money up. Get your weight up and not your hate up. Get your big, fat, jiggly ass out there and make you some donkey booty workout videos with your wide hips. You bussified nigga, you homoerotic ass punk. Nigga sitting around here whining about how much money another man has. What kind of bitch ass, soy milk, estrogen ass niggas are y'all raising out here? With his wide ass damn hips. Looking like Megan Thee Stallion with a thyroid problem. Good Lord. Anyway, y'all. That's been today's broadcast. Let me get up out of here, man. I didn't say what I had to say, ladies and gentlemen. But we got to watch out for tethers. We got to watch out for a lot of these ops out here. We got to watch out for these folks, man. We got a lot of ops out here. We got a lot of folks out here angling to try to get a payday because they're broke and desperate and jealous. You understand? So we got a lot of janky business going on out here. We got to keep our eyes open. Anyway, man, much respect to the family. Papi Akute and Lila Bouvet to you guys. Y'all have a great week. I'll holler at you later. Peace.